Welcome to the Rise Method podcast, where we make fitness information available to everyone. I'm Steve. Let's jump in.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Rise Method podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with our relative human.
Relative human, that's relative sticky. Human. Yep.
Yes. Laura, how are we doing?
Good. I'm very excited. It's a very exciting week this week. It is the first week of our BTC challenge.
The BTC. Yes, it is week one, and I was just thinking to Stan, I'm like, relative human, I've been calling you the resident human,
yeah,
but you could be relative as well, because relatively...
Relative and resident.
Sure, we all the R's, but
see
yes,
what it is next week.
That's what my brain went to for a second there, but yes, it is an exciting week. It's week one of the
B2C,
the Body Transformation Challenge, and a little birdie tells me that someone has entered the BTC themselves.
Yes, I am doing, well, not the competition for obvious reasons, but doing my own little side competition there for myself. I've done two workouts now. I have been trying to complete the workouts around a 2.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, which has been quite challenging in itself. Yesterday, for instance, had both of them hanging off me while I was doing some side-lying adduction.
Abduction.
Yes. Work. Yeah. Extra weight and
that was hilarious. Yeah. So picture this, Laura's laying on her side with a resistance band around her knees, her shins, maybe her feet. And then our son is there holding onto her leg, pushing her leg down as she's trying to lift her leg up. It was a glorious, glorious view.
Extra 14 kilos or
mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the joys of having young kids and making it work while you have the youngsters, because you know there's situations where it's tough to get into the gym and do exercise and do physical activity, but it's about making the best out of the situation that you have. So you know, find that time, find that space, and as a plus side, you know, showing the boys what exercise is like, right? And showing that you know anyone can do them. So that's a great role model to our kids.
Yes.
Good job.
Yeah. And the boys liked it. George was helped me out with some squats and some glute bridges, and
it was great
fun.
And how did dinner go last night, making some meals from the app?
Yes, I made the pepper beef stir fry, pepper steak stir fry. Yeah, quite good. I'm going to tweak it a little bit next week. I might try it again because it was quite tasty. Tweak it again next week and just add a few different veggies that I know the boys will eat. So adding some carrots and maybe add some broccoli or broccolini just to make it a little bit more family friendly. Not that it isn't, but the capsicum, and we've got quite a young one, and as parents out there would know.
The joys.
Yeah.
And we'll measure the soy sauce out this time.
Yeah, kind of free poured a little bit there, a bit salty at times.
Yes, no, it was beautiful. Well, look, team, the BTC is on its way, and many members right now are on the Rise Method app, working through their own challenges and connecting with one another, and you know, putting in some effort this week to set themselves up to their best ability. So in today's episode, we're going to go through some tips on how to get the most out of this challenge and how to get the most out of the Rise Method platform, the app platform that we have, and then answer some common questions that have come up a couple of times over the course of the prep week and last couple of days. But I want to quickly start by just giving a bit of an overview around the B2C. We might have to say it like that now.
I don't know why we started saying it like that.
Yeah.
We
might have to do a little bit of an overview of the Body Transformation Challenge, what it's all about, and then you know we'll roll into some of some tips for using the platform. So firstly, Body Transformation Challenge is a competition, a 12-week competition where if you'd like to enter it, you can submit your start photo and video and your end photo and video, and you could win in one of five categories. So the five categories are male and female weight loss, so weight loss for males, weight loss for females, muscle gain for males and females, and a teams category. Okay.
Teams, that's an exciting new one.
Yeah, so it's a brand new one, and it's a new one, meaning that we haven't done it before, and we don't have any examples of how that works, right? So lots of our members right now are kind of testing it with us, being the first ones to submit photos and videos as a team. Now, how does it work? Well, you know, we have the individual kind of categories, weight loss and muscle gain for male and female, and the team category, and that would be the teams and individual. If you'd like to enter the competition, in the final week of the challenge, in week 12, I will release a submission form, and there you can submit your start photo and video and the end photo and video, along with some answers to some simple questions like, you know, why did you join the challenge? What's been your biggest challenge? What's been your biggest win? Those types of questions. In that entry form, there's a separate section where you could submit as a team. So you can enter both those categories, the individual and the team category, if you like. But the only difference is that individual would need an individual photo and video, and a team would need both team members inside the same photo and the video. So a common question is coming up saying, oh, can I be in a team with someone who is, you know, interstate, maybe the other side of the country? And you can, but the photo and the video just needs to be in the same frame. So they might need to fly and meet up with you to do your photos together. So it can't be digitally,
Photoshopped in the same frame.
Not Photoshopped or superset or any other technical photo words that I don't know about, but nothing where you're grabbing an image and putting it over an image and pasting it in the same thing. So it just needs to be in the same thing. So it works really well if you're doing it with your partner or your friend or your colleague or a family member at home, and you can take your start photos and photos together. Now, we do have a video that accompanies the photo. So that video is just a short video, no longer than 20 seconds in length. And we just need to see you do a little 360 degree turn. And that's just to help verify the photo submission and to help with us choosing the best person for the transformation categories. The final thing is that the start photo and video needs to have the start document visible in that photo and video, and the end photo and video need to have the end document visible in that photo and video. Similar with the teams, it needs to have the start and end documents visible in those.
Do both members of the team have to be holding a start photo each?
No, it just needs to have one in that start photo or video. And that document could be printed off. It could be on a device like a tablet or a computer or a smartphone, right? It just needs to be visible in the photo or video. If you are choosing to put it on like a device or a tablet, just be careful that the glare isn't preventing us from seeing
that.
Yeah,
we need to be able to read it. It needs to be clear.
That's right. Yes. So if you'd like to enter, the entry form is released at the end of the challenge in week 12. So you take your start photos now, you can take them at any time, and you need to save those files and put them in a safe spot. So you need to save them on your phone or your computer or something. So you save your start photos and videos for the end of the challenge where you submit those files. Okay. And once you submit the files, once week 12 ends, you have until the Tuesday to submit the files. And then we'll be announcing the winners on the Thursday.
Yep.
So quick turnaround there. So that is the Body Transformation Challenge, the competition around the Body Transformation Challenge, the B2C.
B2C.
Now, it is totally optional. Lots of members are choosing not to enter the BTC for various reasons. And you may decide later if you want to enter it or not. But what I would recommend is that you take your start photos, just in case you decide to enter it later on. And separately, I would also recommend that you take some progress photos along the way. So not just doing the start and photos, that's it. Probably really great if you take, weekly photos that for your own documentation, you could see that progression over time.
No, I just think it's a great opportunity for members of the community to stay motivated with the teams option now. We were trying to bring in other aspects of the challenge or program or the app to try and build up that motivation, that accountability, aside from like the group chats within the app, because it is hard to stay motivated when you're doing a challenge all by yourself and to go to the gym and to eat healthy, especially if you're maybe the only one in the household trying to take on this challenge or this journey. So we're trialing the Teams one this challenge, but I can see it doing really well with couples alike moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Yeah. I'm really excited to see what some of our teams out there. And there's quite a few teams that I know of. There might be a few that are hidden in the crowd, but there's quite a few teams that I know of. So it should be a really interesting competition. Now, You might be wondering, yes, you can enter, yes, individual and team, and you could win individual and the team category. And the prize, we have five $1,000 prize packs. So that's $500 in cash and $500 supplement prize pack. So you could win the individual and a team pack. The team is split between the two members. So
yes, it's not individually. It's, that's right. Yeah, split.
Yeah. So lots of prizes to be won. Quickly for our Platinum members. Now, Platinum is a weekly membership that gets full access to the Rise Method app. It's cancelled anytime, no locking contracts, and you also get a two-way chat with me directly on the app. So right now, if you've entered the BTC, you have full support inside of our group chats, and there's a few different types of group chats out now. Open to have more group chats if you have a recommendation, and also full email support as well. So there's on the dashboard, there's some shortcuts there. You can just click email and go straight to the contact page on our website. You can email us directly, pretty quick turnaround with email support. And also within the group chat, again, a really quick turnaround there. But if you're a Platinum member, you have a two-way chat with me inside the app. So it's all within the app and you can direct message me, ask me questions. Lots of our members send me training videos of themselves training. And then a lot of just banter back and forth with members as well. So really cool to have that relationship with some Platinum members who are in it for the long haul. So some of those Platinum members have been with us since we first launched the app, which has been really, really, really cool. Now, as an extra bonus for Platinum members, we have the brand new Platinum Summit.
The Summit.
And that competition is a points-based competition. So you collect points by doing activities inside the app. So you've probably seen the leaderboards on the app, such as like the nutrition leaderboard and the workout leaderboard and the personal best leaderboard. So as a Platinum member, you have a separate challenge where you collect points by doing those activities and you climb a mountain. So you summit the mountain. You earn 500 points, get to the top of the mountain. And those who get to the top of the mountain, we're going to randomly choose five of those members and they'll win themselves a $100 Visa gift card. So an extra bonus for Platinum members. So if they can commit to the challenge, commit to the next 12 weeks and earn points by doing activities inside the app, they summit and they rise to the top. And they can randomly win one of five $100 Visa gift cards. Really cool time to be a Platinum member. Extra bonuses there, as well as just the added benefit of paying weekly. So it's less of an upfront cost and really easy to budget there.
And totally optional to join the challenge anyway. But if you're a Platinum member, we've just given an extra incentive to use the app, stay motivated with these little prizes. Totally understand if Platinum members don't want to be involved in the challenge. They're doing a challenge for their own reason, whether it's just to keep accountable, everyday life, which is fantastic. But we've got that option there to help motivate. Why not win something along the way?
Yeah, totally. Now, I just want to go through some tips to get the most out of the Rise Method platform and maybe some added benefits that you might not know about and some features that you might not know about inside the app. Okay. So the first one, broadly speaking, is that I hope you're able to log into the app. But did you know that we have a web portal?
A web portal?
Open question, but to you
to and me and to everyone. The audience?
Yes.
Did you know we have a web portal?
Did I know?
Did you know?
Did you know?
Do we know?
Who knows?
I think we'll know.
We'll know. So you can log into the Rise Method on our Rise Method app. You can also log into the Rise Method website. So you can just go to therisemethod.com.au and click login and you could just log into the portal using the same username in your email and password, and you can look at it from a web version. Now, within the web version, you have other cool features. For example, let's say the meal planner inside the app, because we're limited to the space on the screen, you can only see one day at a time. On the website, you can view the entire week on one screen. So you can just scroll down and you can view the entire week on the screen. It might be easier to plan out meals, especially if you want to repeat certain meals on a 7-day meal planner.
Print the screen.
That's right.
Off you go.
Yep. The other thing you can do is you can export programs as PDFs. So you can go into something like the unique BTC program or maybe the build program, and you can just click download as PDF and then you could print it off. And if you are more of a paper person,
yeah,
and you're not a fan of using your app for whatever reason, you can print that content out inside of the web version. We also have an Apple Watch app.
Apple Watch app? I didn't even know we had an Apple Watch app.
Yeah. So part of our platform, if you have an Apple Watch, you can download the Rise Method app on your watch. And inside that, you can open it up and you can access your workouts and cardio events and stuff inside the Apple Watch app. Apple Watch app. That's
amazing. I think I'm going to have to get an Apple Watch. I'm a Garmin girl.
Yeah. So lots of different ways to access the content there. Now, broadly speaking, around other app features that you may not know about is things like the shortcuts section. So inside the shortcuts on the dashboard of the app, you can find things like something I called BTC Docs. And that is just an article that outlines the entire body transformation competition. So you can find the start document there. You can find examples of what the video looks like and the judging process and all the good stuff. And you can also access the vault. Now, the vault is really cool. Inside the vault, you can find things like training programs, meal plans, recipe books, ebooks, courses, a whole load of stuff that you can download and access at any time. There's over $1,000 of value in there. It took me quite a while to put it all together, but you can access that inside of that shortcuts section as well. So broadly speaking, lots to do inside the app and the entire ecosystem. Another thing you might not know is that you can sync the app with the calendar on your phone. So if you just downloaded the app, you kind of get prompted to allow the calendar notifications. But if you maybe disabled that when you set it up, you can go into the settings tab and re-enable it. But if you schedule activities like workouts, or maybe there's workouts already scheduled in if you're doing the BTC program, they will appear as a calendar event on the calendar on your phone. So you'll get a notification saying, hey, you've got an event today. You have, you know, workout one or something for that day, which can be a really cool way to keep motivated, because the best way to stay committed to a training program is if you've scheduled time for it. So if you say, all right, on my calendar, which is a busy day because on Mondays, I've got to, you know, take little Billy to the dentist. I've got to do X, Y, and Z meeting. I've got to do these chores. And then I've also got to do workout number one. All that scheduled onto your calendar, you're going to tick those activities off and you get notifications while you do that. So really cool thing. You can enable that notification as well.
Side note, our kids' names aren't Billy.
No. Little Billy.
We don't have a Billy.
No, but you're like the...
I used to have a Billy cat.
Proverbial little Billy.
Little Billy. Ah, we have a job.
Oh, hey, kids, I'm little Billy.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing?
Moving on.
Yeah. So talking about the meal plan now. So inside the app, we have a 7-day meal planner. Okay, so it's a meal plan, but think of it like a meal planner. So what we do when we set up your meal plan, and we do everyone's meal plan individually. So once you sign up to the program, I sit down, I look at your biometrics, your height, your weight, your activity level, all these data points that you entered when you set up the app. And then I look at some of the information you entered into the app when you first joined the program. So maybe some of the goals you have, you know, meal preferences, diet preferences, those types of things.
This is your consultation form.
That's what we call a consult form, yes. And we create and set up your meal plan manually. So that's why it might take, you know, an hour or two, because I might be sleeping when you join the program or something. So we do say that it could take up to 24 hours, but often it's usually within a couple of hours we set up that program. Yeah. Now, when we create your nutrition goals, we generate a meal planner, and that a little algorithm chooses meals that matches your nutrition goal. Now, inside those meals, you can swap those meals as often as you like. And we have a few hundred, I think it's close to a couple of thousand actually, different meals that you can swap into your program. Those meals are really cool. It outlines all the ingredients, the instructions, of course, and also most of them have a video accompanying that. And that video is quite short, maybe like under a minute, and it will show you kind of a step-by-step guide on how to make that meal, okay? Now, you can swap those meals as often as you like. However, there are lots of folks, especially Platinum members out there, that choose to repeat the same couple of days worth of meals over and over again. So what they do is they might do day 1, 2, and then maybe 3, and they kind of structure out the meals that they want. And then when it comes to the time that they had those meals, they just click the button that says ate, I ate this meal, and then it submits that meal. Now, we can modify your nutrition goals at any time. So you can just message us in the group chats or maybe sending us an email. And maybe you want to modify the calorie target, or maybe you want to modify how many snacks you have. But the limit that we have with things like the meals that you have is that if your nutrition goal is too low, like let's say your calories are 1400 calories, we don't have meals small enough that if you wanted to have, let's say, 7 meals a day, we don't have meals that are, 200 calories per day. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, what you can do, and as an option of if you don't want to use the meal planner, is that you can log your own meals inside of the app. So we have a built-in meal tracker. So what you need to do is click the plus and click meal, and then it goes through a process very similar to like MyFitnessPal,
yep,
where you can take a photo of a meal and just write down what food is inside that meal, how much of that each food it has, and you can even write some notes if you like, and then you can log that meal. And quite a few members do a bit of a hybrid approach where they will do a couple of meals from the meal planner, and then they might log a couple of extra meals just manually because they're, out and about, or they really love a basic sandwich for lunch, or they're choosing to have, protein snacks, or protein bars and extra bits and pieces. So a really easy way to just add those meals. What happens is on your profile, you start to accumulate calories and macros, and you see that on your dashboard, and those little bars start to rise, and as you get closer to your nutrition goals, the bars change from blue to gold, and then you meet your nutrition goals. Okay, so that's the meal planner, and you can change those. We can change your nutrition goals at any time. Now, it is a bit of a top-down approach, meaning that we kind of set the nutrition goals. So there is a little bit of control and semi-autonomous actions through yourself. So we just want to guide you a little bit because I have experience in the past where some folks want to take control of their nutrition, but might be lacking a little bit of guidance. So we do have a little bit of help along the way. Okay. Now, let's quickly talk about the training plans. Now, we have 12 different training programs inside of the app, and the unique BTC training program. Okay, so the unique body transformation training program is a full body split. So 4 days a week of training, and each day you're training your full body. So a little bit of legs, a little bit of arms, a little bit of chest, a little bit of back, that type of thing. Okay. Now, there are some benefits to a full body split where you're not doing so much volume on a specific body part that it really takes a big toll. So if you have experienced like a legs day and you're doing 3, 4, 5 exercises on your legs, that's just lots of exercises on your legs, and your legs are going to be really sore. But if you did one exercise of legs, it might not be enough that you get really sore, but if you did one exercise of legs, 4 days a week, that's a similar volume to spread out across the week. So you're not really getting that sore effect, but you're still giving the stimulus to the muscle to grow. So there are some benefits to that BTC program. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to follow the BTC program. You can follow any other program inside the app. So there's 12 different programs. Each of the programs have a little bit of an overview at the very start. So if you're unsure of what that program is about, you can just watch the little video or do a little read up on what that program is about. And you can also do a little bit of a hybrid. So Laura, I know that you're doing a bit of a split at the moment. All about the hybrid model. Which programs are you kind of mix and matching?
I'm floating between about 3 programs. So I've started the at-home one just on the Mondays and Fridays when the boys are not at daycare. I can do a lot of the exercises with them while playing in the lounge room, so it just kind of works that way. I do love kettlebell exercises. We love a kettlebell exercise, so I'm following the kettlebell workout as well. And then the BTC, I'm getting you to help me out.
Me?
Yep, as my spotter in our garage gym. As well. So getting a bit of everything, but I've made it so I can work around the boys. I don't necessarily have to get up any earlier than I usually get up. If I needed to, I would have to. That's not an issue, but I don't have to because I can do it at home in the lounge room with the boys. It's just a little bit longer and a little bit more extra added body weight, but I'm enjoying the mixing it up a little bit. I get bored very easy, and that's how I stay focused and motivated.
Yeah, no, love that. So you can definitely mix up the programs. We do recommend like 4 workouts a week, but you can certainly do less or fewer workouts if needed. And you can certainly do more if you're up for it. A really great model to use is something like following, let's say, the BTC program, because it's scheduled into your calendar if you're doing the challenge. And then if you're looking for more, adding in things like a sweat workout, which are short, maybe 10-minute workouts. So you could do a BTC workout on your Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And if you want a little bit more, maybe on the Tuesday and the Thursday, you throw in a sweat session. So a 10-minute workout, get the heart rate going. And then maybe on like the Sunday, you can do a stretch session where you have a little bit of a stretch routine. So you're kind of filling out your week. Maybe if you want to do a workout every day just to keep yourself active, plus maybe going for a walk and things. So you can really commit and have the burst of fitness and, you know, doing the exercise every day of the week, but not that you need to go to a gym per se. The last point was around that sweat workout. A lot of them require no equipment. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are just body weight only. And some of them at most might have a set of dumbbells. So if you are going to the gym a couple of days a week, but you want to add a little bit more, you can do like a 10-minute workout, maybe in your backyard or your garage or in your lounge room, and it might not require any equipment. And those sweat workouts are kind of follow along videos. So you can just press play and then you just follow along with the little video, which makes it easy as well.
Perfect,
so you can just follow the video, which is cool. So lots of variety inside the RISE method. Final thing I want to talk about is activity trackers and other add-ons to the app. So like you mentioned, Laura, you can connect things like your Garmin to the RISE Method app and of course, your Apple Watch and, of course, Fitbit. You can also synchronize things like your MyFitnessPal account. So if you're not a fan of using our in-app meal tracker with our barcode scanner and our system and you prefer MyFitnessPal, you totally can. You know, maybe you're paying for MyFitnessPal and you might as well use their premium services as well. But if you're using MyFitnessPal, the free version, you get to see all the ads. We don't have ads, so maybe you just want to use our in-app tracker. Totally your call. But if you synchronize with MyFitnessPal, when you click the meal button, so you click plus and meal, it goes to MyFitnessPal, opens that up. So you can synchronize all these add-ons through the settings menu. So if you go to the bottom right-hand corner of your app, the 3 dots, just click that and just scroll down to connect, and you can connect other activity trackers to the app, which is really cool. And it's a really great way to utilize technologies. At the moment, we don't have integration with Samsung Health and a few Android products, but we are working on in adding those features soon. A new feature that's releasing really, really soon over the next couple of weeks is a shopping list generator called grocery list. So the way that will work is inside your meal planner, once you've set what meals you want to have, you can just click generate shopping list, and you could generate shopping list to how many servings of the recipes you wanted, and then it will create that shopping list for you. So really cool feature coming soon. We were trying to have it so that it was launching at the same time as this challenge, but with technology is always a little bit of a delay. So that will be coming really, really soon, which is really exciting. Final part here, I just want to talk about some common questions that have come up over the last couple of days and week. And common questions are totally fine. There's no silly questions, no bad questions out there. And if anything, it's really great to ask questions that we can get a little bit more guidance and clarity on our journey. Because we are on our unique journeys, but there are some similarities between us. So if you were asking a question in a public space, let's say like the group chat, I guarantee that there's other people experiencing the same challenge or situation as you. So if anything, you're doing a service to the community by asking a question like that.
So we're going to put Coach Steve's hat on and Osteo Steve's hat on to answer a few of our common questions. As you mentioned, no silly questions. It's almost better if we get asked questions along the way. Even better if we get asked the same type of question multiple times, because then we know how can we improve, how can we make it simpler, how can we make it easier for you, or get that information out. So we've just picked a few from the past week or two, and we're going to get Coach Steve to answer them. Now, the first one we have is, what do I do about DOMS? So delayed onset muscle soreness. Coach Steve.
Yeah. So firstly, DOMS is a very normal experience. And what it's referring to is the muscle soreness you experience, not when you're doing the exercise, not the day of the exercise, but maybe like the next day. Okay. Now, in the technical sense, DOMS is muscle trauma or technically damage to a muscle, and it's a very low level of a muscle strain. Okay, so probably like a grade, zero, not really a grade one where it's a tear, but a grade zero of a trauma inside the muscle. So DOMS occurs when we do activity or we apply load to body tissues that are above its capacity. Okay, so for example, you might be listening to this and you're sitting on a chair. That chair has like a weight limit, right? It probably holds your weight quite well. Mm. It probably holds two humans quite well, maybe three, sure, four. But, let's say there was 100 people that were trying to sit on that one chair. There's a weight limit to that chair and it would eventually break, right? So as we go above the capacity of that chair or your body's tissues, that's when we start to create some trauma and we can experience things like DOMS after the fact. Okay. Now, imagine like that chair example, let's say 100 humans is the limit, but it's not that you put 101 humans where it breaks. You might be able to get 101, 102, and the chair starts to bow creak and creak. You're like, ooh, that's kind of like the risky territory. Like 100 is the limit, but ooh, maybe we can get 103, that type of thing. It's similar with our muscles, right? Where we have a limit, we can surpass that limit. The longer we spend past that limit, the higher the risk of things like injuries occurring, and the higher the risk of traumatic events, being like muscle trauma. And the challenging part is that trauma, that overreaching, that overload above the capacity is where muscles grow. So we kind of want to chase this experience of a bit of DOMS. So if you've been training for a really long time and you just don't experience DOMS anymore, it might be that you're training under your capacity, where having some experience with some muscle soreness might be a good indicator that we are training kind of above our capacity, but not to a point where it's really high. So muscle soreness, really great thing to do is to rate that soreness. So if you've just started exercise, there's a chance that your muscle soreness is really high. Let's say like a 6, 7, 8 out of 10 level of pain, and it's almost like disabling. If you train legs for the first time in a long time, you can't walk. You're basically disabled, right? So that's not cool. What we need to do is find a load that is under the capacity, so that your experience with DOMS is less than a 5 out of 10. So it's still manageable. Some soreness is to be expected, but it's still manageable. A problem that we face is if we're coming back to exercise after time off, our brains and our nervous system hasn't changed too much. We know what we used to do or what we could do, and often our brain says, oh, you can do more, you can do more, you can do more. Don't feel it at the time, but your body isn't ready for that load yet. So the brain says yes, the body says no, no, not yet. What tends to happen over time is it flips, where if you are in this intermediate to advanced stage, training for more than a year, 2 years and beyond, your body has a really high capacity, but the brain is what stops you first. Okay, so let's say argument's sake, squats. If you start to load up squats and add some load, let's say 3 plates, 140 kilos, you physically might be able to do that for 10 reps, but mentally you give up at rep number 3, 4, or 5, right? And chronically over time, what happens is the brain and your nervous system stops before the body's capacity is met, which is why those who are intermediate and advanced don't really experience DOMS as much, because we stop ourselves a little bit short. And that's not to say that you're not training hard. It just means that your body signals are saying, oh no, this is too much for me. But if I was there yelling at you, you probably can get a few more reps in, right? So main takeaway, what do you do about DOMS? Firstly, is to manage the volume that you're completing. So you might be doing too much activity. Number two, we want to treat it like you would treat a muscle strain, where you would give it a little bit of rest, a little bit of TLC, maybe a bit of massage, maybe a little bit of, you know, physio cream or like a Voltaren if it's really painful. Maybe an over-the-counter medication might be like an ibuprofen, might be helpful to manage the pain symptoms. But really the best thing for it is a good night's sleep, good hydration, drink plenty of water, and do some physical activity like going for a walk just to get some of the fluids inside the muscle. I'm talking about some of the metabolites and all the chemical soup, we call it. Get all of that moving so that you can start that recovery process. Movement is going to be the best thing for it. So DOMS, totally normal. Something that should be expected when you're starting a workout. One final note is that muscle soreness isn't directly correlated with muscle growth. So you don't need to get more sore to get a more effective workout.
Yeah.
So even if you aren't sore or you're not as sore as you were, you know, 6 months ago, that doesn't mean that your workouts are less effective. So we shouldn't be chasing soreness, but soreness might be an indicator that we are confidently in that overload capacity, where overload is what makes us grow, but it's also where we kind of get injured. So we're kind of toying with the line, you know? That's DOMS.
That was a lot about DOMS.
A lot of DOMS.
Mm. Question number two, Coach Steve, what should I cook for my kids?
Yes, I am totally qualified to answer this question. Well, we have lots of parents inside of our community who are asking questions such as, oh, you know, I'm looking at the meal plan. There's lots of meals, but, you know, my kids wouldn't eat these meals. What do I do instead? Okay. And firstly, I totally get it where it's challenging to find a place to meal prep your own meals, but then you might be the main cook in the family or preparing food in the family. So being in a position where you're preparing your own foods and then trying to find foods that your kids would be happy with is definitely challenging, right? My tip would be that you can enjoy the foods that, you know, maybe your kids are choosing to eat. So let's say, you know, your child is refusing to eat certain vegetables. And the only way to feed them is you decide, all right, a chicken nugget's fine. You know, let's just eat that. You know, you could have something like a chicken nugget if you wanted to. You just need to log that food appropriately inside the meal tracker. So you can certainly have the foods that your kids would eat or foods that you were previously cooking on your natural menu that you had. You can certainly have those same foods, but just log them inside the meal tracker. You might need to adjust the portion sizes slightly, and then maybe modifying some of the food choices inside that meal. So maybe instead of putting lots of you know, olive oil and you know, a really high amounts of other oils and fats and sauces into that meal, maybe you're choosing to reduce that slightly so to reduce the calorie control. But I'll turn to you, Laura.
Yes, because I usually prepare most of the meals.
What would you do, or what are you doing?
Yeah.
So that you can stay on track with what you want to achieve while still preparing food for our 1 and 2 year old.
Yeah. So I modify some of our foods. For instance, tonight we're doing spaghetti bolognese, lots of tomatoes, zucchini, carrot going into it. The boys love spaghetti bolognese. I used to make it slightly different for us. However, now I grate the vegetables like I would do as they were developing. We give them the spaghetti now. I just cut it up for them. So I changed up a little bit for them. If we're having like a protein with like a, like let's say a chicken breast and they're going through their chicken schnitzel phase, I'll get a certain type of chicken schnitzel, cut that up for them, but just substitute a different type of chicken for us. We still have very young kids, so we go through phases where like our eldest won't have broccoli and 1 week won't have corn and doesn't want to eat whatever. And it changes every week or so. I still offer them that food, but they get a lot of excitement at that age, get a lot of excitement about eating mummy and daddy's food.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement about eating daddy food. So any sort of rice dishes, if I can grate and hide a lot of vegetables in there, amazing. But stuff that we can eat too, it basically tastes exactly the same. I just change how I make and prepare it so we can all enjoy it. But that's my main takeaway. I do a lot of meal prepping for them. And I have a lot of things on the side in case that goes south and they don't want to eat that night. But if we're eating the same thing as them, they do get quite excited. But that's because we've got a 2.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah.
So we haven't got to the age where it's a bit more of a fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet.
One day.
Very soon.
All right. Final question. I might take it here. We had a question come up recently was, I lose my appetite after I work out and I feel nauseous. Is that normal?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. After you exercise, do you feel hungry or do you like lose your appetite?
I generally feel hungry. I feel nauseous if I've eaten before, depending on what I've eaten before. I will not eaten enough or eaten too much. Actually, yeah, so thinking about it, if I eat, I tend to feel a little bit sick depending on what I've done. But no, generally I feel very hungry.
Yeah. So it all is very individual where some people like myself and you, where after you exercise, the first thing you want to do is go and eat.
Yeah.
Other folks experience the opposite where they lose their appetite. And it can be dependent on the types of exercise you do. Like if you did a really high intensity workout, the first thing that you want to do after you work out might not be go and eat, right? You've just been jumping around. Or let's say you did burpees for 5 minutes, right?
Not enjoyable.
No. So, everything's still moving. Your heart rate's still going. Like you're still trying to catch your breath. The first thing that you want to do is probably not sit down and eat. You probably just want to maybe drink some water, just try to cool down, relax, maybe go have a shower, that type of thing. So we get that. Maybe your appetite straight after might not be there. And then others might experience the complete opposite where they've just gone for maybe, like a run or a walk or something. And then once they get home, they're like, oh, geez, I'm really hungry now. I'm famished. I want to go and eat, right? So it does depend. It can be normal to lose your appetite. It can be normal to feel hungry. The second part around being nauseous, I wouldn't put my finger on it and say that that is normal. I wouldn't say that most people who go and exercise feel nauseous after they exercise. And it might be a few factors that cause that. Exercise should be kind of like a celebration of what you can do with your body. And it shouldn't be something that we have like a negative experience with. Like, oh, I feel nauseous after exercise.
Yeah, it's right? Definitely put off.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do it. It's like, I feel nauseous after I, eat bananas. I'm not going to continue eating bananas. I would stop, right? So we need to kind of find out, why you're feeling nauseous. So a couple of ideas. One is around what do you do prior to your workout?
Like what are you eating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are you eating or what are you not eating? So if you're choosing to have, let's say you're training at 5 a.m., you wake up, you scull a hot coffee and then you go and train, you might not feel very good.
Mm.
Let's say it's a completely empty stomach. You've had caffeine. It was really hot. Maybe it was milky and you don't often have like milk in your coffee, or maybe you do, I don't know. And then you go and exercise. That might cause that nauseous feeling as an example. Or maybe you've had a really heavy meal. So you just had a really big meal and then you go out and you go and do some exercise. You might feel nauseous. It's kind of like when, when you're a kid and your parents would say, oh, wait 30 minutes before you go and swim, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of a similar idea. So maybe that is one point to look at. The next point would be the types of exercise that you're doing. So if you are, let's say, doing like a HIIT workout in the heat, that might make you feel a bit nauseous, or a certain environment. So if you are training, let's say, in an enclosed small garage space versus like a large gym or something, that might change the way you're feeling in that activity. Next thing we can look at is training intensity. So if you are training like 10 out of 10 above your capacity type training, it can kind of change the way that we, digest food. Think about that like fight or flight response.
Yeah.
When you are like full systems go, your body is sending kind of like blood and energy, I guess, to your limbs to do activities. And it takes it away from things like digestion. So adding to it all, if you've just eaten a meal and you go and do a workout, you're not really digesting food. So you might feel a bit nauseous once you kind of finish that workout and come down. Final thing to consider is overall hydration. So if you are completing your workout and you're sweating a lot, might feel nauseous after that effect. You might feel nauseous if you have very low blood sugar levels. So if you are hypoglycemic or pre-diabetic, maybe that's an influencing factor. Maybe if you have low fitness levels, you might feel nauseous because you're like, oh, geez, I've made myself sick. I've done too much. Mm-hmm. And the final thing to consider is, let's say, menstrual cycles. So if you are at a time when you would feel nauseous just by being present and you throw in some exercise, that might have been a triggering event. So there are a few compounding things that might have triggered the nausea experience of being unwell or just feeling a little bit, for lack of a better term, like icky your workout. But it is something that we'd want to workshop and try to figure out, because you don't want to be feeling crappy after your workout. You want to be feeling good so that you actually want to go and do the workout again. So you would hate if your first experience with a workout is that you feel icky afterwards, because you wouldn't do it for the next 5 or 10 years, right? Exactly. You don't want to wake up when you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s and be like, oh, damn, I wish I worked out. Like, this was so much fun that I gave it a second go, because my first go, I just felt nauseous. So definitely not a normal experience, and something that you might want to figure out what might be causing it so that you can enjoy it. And when you enjoy exercise, you're going to do it. And when you do it, you reap all the benefits of working out. But let's wrap it up there.
Yep.
We've gone through quite a lot today. We went through an overview of the BTC program, went through a few tips on the Rise Method platform, then answered some questions for the week, talked about DOMS, how to cook for kids, and if you are nauseous or losing your appetite after a workout.
Lots of things, lots of information.
But thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next week for another one.
See you next week.